Okay, if you can, let's go ahead and stand. Welcome to Liberty Baptist Church for the evening service. Good to see you. We're going to sing Sound the Battle Cry.
Sound the battle cry. See the foe is nigh. Raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on. Stand firm, everyone. Rest your cause upon His holy word. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner. Ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throng. Strong to meet the foe, marching on we go. While our cause we know must prevail. Shield and banner bright, gleaming in the light. Battling for the right, we ne'er can fail. Rouse and soldiers, rally round the banner. Ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throng. O thou God of all, hear us when we call. Help us one and all. Sing it out. Rouse and soldiers, rally round the banner. Ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of a mighty throne.
Good to see you here tonight. Just want you to know it's hard to preach after last night, because last night the lady in pink over there on the far side, she was number one on our team, and I was number two in Laser Quest. So Mrs. Stevens came in first. I'm standing there thinking, hey, I came in second, because the time before I came in third. And then she yells out, what's your name? And I said, and she said, I'm number one. So she was number one. So I guess I'd already retired from bowling. Now I guess I'll retire from Laser Quest. I'll be like a lot of the other folks. I just said, but you should have seen her. She didn't realize it was Laser Quest. She was in there hitting folks and shooting them. And I mean, it was, if you can imagine, a grown version of Michael. That's what it was. I mean, she was everywhere. So, sir? Yes, we do. So, appreciate all those of you that went last night to main event. We had a good time. Took a while for everybody to get there, but we finally had 41 folks. I mean, we had a good crowd. But again, thank you for showing up. And again, I try to do something every month for fellowship. We'll probably even have some game nights, because I know some of you older folks, and when I say that, I'm in that group too, like to sit down and play board games and other stuff. So we're trying to, and I'm trying to get the ceramics up, because I know some of you like to paint. And you know, the good news is you don't have to be good at painting to enjoy painting. So it's kind of like anything else. You don't have to be good at Laser Quest to enjoy Laser Quest. So, but we will try to have some stuff. We're trying to have stuff because, again, we don't have a jolly 60s. Although we have a lot of jolly 60s here, a lot of churches have a group for older folks. And someone asked me, can you start activities for older folks? And I said, no, but I can have an activity where the older folks can come and enjoy themselves as well. So we're trying to incorporate that in the near future as well. But again, appreciate all those of you that showed up and was a blessing to us last night. Lord, keep us safe, Lord, as we are here tonight. Lord, thank you for the rainbow that we saw on the way in. It was such a blessing. And I pray, Lord, that you just give us more rain, especially out in the country. We don't necessarily need it here at the church, but out in the country, we sure could use some more rain. We pray, Lord, you'd bless Brother Nichols and Mrs. Nichols. Thank you for the Gomez's being with us the last 2 weeks. And I pray, Lord, that you would just bless the service tonight. I ask, Lord, for your wisdom and your power. And I pray, Lord, you'd especially bless our sick folks in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll give you an update in a little bit. I'm going to have Brother Delgado, if he's in here. But they went. He, from what he told me, Mike, are you?
Shall we gather at the river?
Shall we gather at the river where bright angel feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing from the throne of God? Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. On the bosom of the river, where the Savior King we own, we shall meet in sorrow never, meet the glory of the throne. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Soon we'll reach the shining river. Soon our pilgrimage will cease. Soon our happy hearts will quiver with the melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.
If you keep up with the prayer list that I print up, there are new ones on the back pew. Let me know that as well. Best either with a piece of paper or a text, and that way I have less chance of losing it. How many of you put your phone on your grocery cart when you're grocery shopping? How many of you ever got in your car and realized you don't have your phone and you run back and happen to find it on the grocery cart? I did that. It's been a few months ago. So I try not to put my phone anywhere other than back in my pocket now because I forget. Like I told Mrs. Perry, someone had to help me tonight, and I don't know who it was, but you helped me lose my mind because I went into the office, did something with Miss Reese, got a bottle of water out of the fridge like I always do, got partway here, and don't know what I did with it. So I walked into Miss Perry and I said, I know I had a bottle of water. And so I went back to the office, got another one, got up here, and it was sitting up here. So anyone know who did that?
I can give you the name, but it's going to cost you.
Okay. So I thought, I know I brought it. Yes, ma'am. Okay, any idea how she came out? Okay, I'll try to. I think I have Miss Ramos' number. I'll call her. So whoever brought my water up here, we used to have a thing in AC called Don't Pick Up the Monkey. It's called Monkey Business. And what it was each of us have our own monkeys. It's kind of like having your little baby. And so when you carry a monkey around, if I happen to go in the bathroom, I can't take my monkey in the bathroom. So I set my responsibility on the table outside of the bathroom. I go in the bathroom, come back out, my monkey is missing. So now I'm panicking because my monkey is gone. So I go looking for my monkey, and I spend 20 minutes looking for my monkey. You thinking you was going to be a help, picked my monkey up, took it to my office, and set it on my desk. And so everyone was told the folks, do not pick up other people's monkeys. And so if you thought you was helping me tonight, thank you. But all you really did was just make me think, I am really losing it. I mean, I did not even get to the pulpit, and the water is sitting on the platform. So I thought, apparently my body goes places I don't even know it goes. So I had an out-of-body experience tonight. And so, but again, thank you for whoever did that. But you did help me go a little crazy for a minute because I knew I had a bottle of water. And I even went back to the office, thought maybe I set it back in there, and it wasn't there. So, again, stuff going on this week. We had their activity last night. We'll have soul winning tomorrow night. 6:45, and again, everybody's welcome for that. We have classes for the kids if you need the kids watched. But again, so went in visitation. We've been trying to, every week, we try to follow up anyone who visited during the week. We always send someone to visit them. We try to follow up anyone that's been missing for a while. And so again, and then we try to visit the older folks, and then if we can slip Brother Moss in, we do that as well. We don't always have that. But again, if you can come tomorrow night, we'd appreciate it, 6:45. Bus visitation is Saturday at 9:30, so one at 10:45, then back in your place for Sunday school and church. I don't know of anything coming up in the near future. I know we have a college group in May, so I don't know of anything coming up between now and May, and that's not too far away. We're going to try to do some stuff with Fiesta, but this year Brother Castillo's not getting the booth, so there's not a booth at Fiesta, to my knowledge, unless something changes. Last time I talked to him, they were not getting the booth. We will go down on whatever day the Parade of Flowers is, and I'll get that information. Brother Sells probably already has it, but we'll get that posted. That is a Friday morning that we go down to the parade route and pass out thousands of tracts on the parade route. And again, you don't have to be, you know, we used to take a bunch of the school kids, but now we only have one or two kids in the school that we can take. The rest of them are too young. So if we don't have some of you go, we will not cover the parade route. So we always have some folks that go and we pass out. He makes up a track just for that. And we take those tracks and pass them out. It's a good advertisement for Liberty Baptist Church. So we get our track in a lot of people's hands that we wouldn't get in their hands otherwise. And also, now we don't take time to witness because from the time we start, we have to get to the end before they start kicking people off the road and off the sidewalks and stuff. It makes it almost impossible to get through the crowd. But if you can help us with that, if you're one that always exercises or walks every day, that's a good place to get your exercise that Friday morning. We usually get back here around lunchtime. So that is, I know that's toward the end of April, but we'll get you the information on that when it gets closer. But again, thank you for being faithful to the meetings with Brother Gomez. If you missed any of the messages, you want to go back and get those, you'll get a blessing from that.
All right, stand up for Jesus. And if you can, let's stand. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey, for to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day, he
Let a man now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with and strength to strength oppose.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your blessings and your love to us and your salvation. We pray that if someone's lost tonight in this place, they'd receive you as their Savior before they go home. Now, Lord, be with this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Sing our best.
Hear the master's call, give me thy best. For be it great or small, that is his test. Do then the best you can, not for reward, not for the praise of man, but for the Lord. Every work for Jesus will be blessed, but he asks from everyone his best. But unto him his due, our best are all. Wait not for men to laud, heed not their slight. Winning the smile of God brings its delight. Aiding the good and true, there goes a blessed. All that we think or do, be it the best. Every work for Jesus will be blessed, but he has from everyone his best. Our talents may be few, these may be small, but unto him his due, our best are all. Night soon comes on apace, day hastens by. Work man and work must face, testing on high. Oh, may we in that day find rest, sweet rest, which God has promised those who do their best. Every work for Jesus will be blessed, but he asks for everyone his best. Our talents
Jaden, just for future reference, if I ask you to do something for me and you got to play the piano, just tell me I'll do that in a minute. I didn't realize when I sent you on that errand that you were the one doing the piano during the offering. So, do you still have pages left or do you get rid of all of them? If you need a page, you want one, he will get to you now. So if you hold your hand up for a second, he's coming. And you can turn your Bibles or where we're going to start is Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Usually when we speak of Joseph, we are not speaking of this Joseph. Almost always we're speaking of the Joseph with the coat of many colors, because he is the one that's most thought of and most talked about. But this is not that Joseph. When we're talking about this Joseph, we're talking about Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, or Joseph, the husband of Mary. So that's who we're talking about tonight. You all out, Jaden? Sorry, bub. Sorry, I'll run extras off. I never know how many to run off. I run off usually right at 40. Sometimes we have 10 left, and sometimes we don't. So, thank you. So we're in Matthew chapter 1. Notice verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not privy to making her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Now, we're going to look at that for just a moment, but the thought tonight is one who acts rather than reacts. Father, I ask for your help tonight. I ask, Lord, that you'd help us to get this thought, this good trait that Joseph had. And Lord, that there's others in the Bible that have displayed it. There's many that also have not displayed it. Many times we don't display this. We react instead of acting. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to realize how important it is and how good a trait this is to have in our lives. And I pray, Lord, if there's one lost tonight here tonight, that they'd hear the word of God and also get saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Couple things I forgot to mention. Don't forget to continue to pray for Brother Taylor's foot. He goes to see the doctor tomorrow. But again, healing from broken foot. Also, my daughter goes back to court again tomorrow. Someone asked me, when's that ever going to end? And the answer to that is, I have no idea. But tomorrow they're supposed to have a hearing. So if you can pray for that, I'd appreciate it. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, Joseph acted differently than most of us would have acted. I usually have just points and subpoints. Tonight I have two pages of introduction and then two pages of the thought that we have. So the introduction, I want to give you several thoughts to think about. First off, realize this simple truth. Joseph was surprised and hurt. Any man would be. Because keep in mind, there had never been a woman in the past or one in the present, and there's never been one in Joseph's future or our present that ever had a baby by the Holy Ghost. And if a woman tried to sell that to you or anyone else, you and I would not believe them because it just doesn't happen. And at that point, now we know it's happened at once. So it'd be easier for us to understand that. But again, if you're dating a young lady or if you are not able to have babies and your wife gets pregnant, you're going to have a hard time believing her when she says, I'm serious, it's the Holy Spirit. And we've seen it happen one time. So the fact is, and we know it's happened one time. That's why through this, we wouldn't be here tonight if we didn't believe that Jesus was who Jesus was and how he got here. Otherwise, he'd just be a great man. And none of us here tonight worship great men. We might look up to great men, but we don't worship or ask great men to save us because they're not capable of doing so. Only Jesus could. But again, understand, he was in a position none of us have ever been in, and it never had happened before, never has happened since. So again, he had to be surprised and hurt, and by the way, also felt disgraced. And by the way, when that happens, you know what we want to do? When someone hurts us, you know what our instant response is? To hurt them back. That's our thought. If there's a guy here today and you thought your girlfriend, or a man, you thought your girlfriend or your wife cheated on you, truth is, you'd want to let folks know about that, how wicked they were. You'd probably call her the W word. You'd probably call her a whore. You might call her some other stuff because you'd be very unhappy the fact that she did that. But notice what it said. He was minded to put her away. Now, minded means he was to be willing. He was willing to put her away privily. He did not. Now, again, that is amazing when I think about that. He was hurt, but instead he thought about her. He was trying not to hurt her. Again, in his mind, he thought she'd been... So again, you say she doesn't deserve... I mean, a girl that normally would do that, cheat on her boyfriend, or a lady that cheats on her husband, you'd think she doesn't deserve that. And you and I would all probably agree on that. But Joseph said, you know what? I love her and I care about her enough. I don't want to hurt her. Even though in his mind, she had hurt him. She had done him wrong. His desire was to put her away privily, cause her no harm, no embarrassment, while he was hurt and embarrassed. By the way, impulsive decisions can cause damage and unchangeable consequences. Listen to that again. Impulsive decisions can cause damage and unchangeable consequences. When I worked in the church in California, we had a young couple, some teenagers that were dating. Now, we had a young lady, and again, there's a big difference between being a flirt or being someone that likes attention of the opposite sex and being immoral. They're not the same. You can like the attention. The truth is, I've told folks, I had girlfriends since I was in kindergarten. I mean, I can even tell you who something... Now, that's the weird thing about my mind. I can't remember some stuff that happened yesterday, but I can tell you about Ruth Adamson and Debbie. I mean, I can tell you some of my girlfriends from grade school. I can even tell you some of my teachers, some of them that I liked and some of them that I didn't like. I can tell you the teachers. I can remember their names when sometimes I can't even remember your name. That's why you say, why do you call me Blondie? Because I don't remember your name sometimes. Now, I'll remember it 5 minutes later, but I don't... I mean, sometimes my mind goes blank. I mean, you say, Brother Block... My son told me the other day, he said, Dad, that's why I chew nicotine gum. So I said, nicotine gum. So I took up smoking. So, I mean, but it still did crave some of my cravings for food. I'm just joking. Some of you look at me like, Brother Block, I did, but I did get the nicotine gum, and I've tried to chew some of that. He says that helped. Because he said, Dad, there's a big study, and it helps with Alzheimer's and all this other stuff. And I thought, maybe that's so. I got Mark some nicotine gum, then I got some nicotine gum. Henry, can you see? I think Mark has passed out on us. Oh. Oh, no, he's... Okay, we're good. He's studying. I was just worried about him for a minute because he was sitting so still. I started getting... When I got Mark some nicotine gum, I got some nicotine gum for me as well. You say, has it helped you any? I still forget stuff, apparently, I don't know how long you have to do it and what it's supposed to do, but again, understand... And again, this young couple in California, she liked boys. She liked to flirt, but she wasn't... Again, she was a good girl. But she was dating this young man or liking this young man. I don't think she's actually old enough to date, so she was liking this young man. And then they broke up. Now, I don't remember, it's been so long ago, I don't remember if she broke up with her or she broke up with him, but they broke up. And then in his anger at her, he told folks the reason he broke up was because she had had a physical relationship with someone else. Now, the word got around, and then it got back to her parents. And her parents, again, because they'd fussed at this young lady often about flirting with the boys and chasing the boys and so on and so forth, she swore it had not happened. They did not believe her. They took her to the doctor and had the doctor check and found out she was still a virgin. You say, oh, well, then that made everything okay, except in her mind. And so later she really got messed up because of the fact that her parents did not believe her when she was telling the truth. And this knucklehead. Now, do you think that young man meant for that to happen? Do you think he meant for those consequences to happen? Did he really plan on, her parents finding out, them taking her to a doctor, them getting in a big argument and her hating her parents from that point on, and then going out and becoming that kind of a girl? Did he intend for that to happen? Of course not. He was young and stupid, and he did it an impulsive thing. But by the way, it destroyed someone else's life. So again, keep in mind, impulsive decisions can cause damage and unchangeable consequences. When you have something like this come along, it is best to do three things. To think. For some of us, that would be a good start at any time. To think, to pray, and to get counsel. Now, that's because the Bible says in the multitude of counselors are safety. You'll make a lot less mistakes if you get counsel from wise people. Before making major decisions, you should always do that. Think, pray, and get counsel. Now, I don't know if Joseph got counsel. I don't know if he went to somebody and said, Mary cheated on me. She's pregnant. I don't know if he went to his father. I don't know if he went to his mother. I don't know if he went to other people. I don't know if he went to the elders in the church. We don't know. It doesn't tell us that. But if he didn't, he made a very wise decision on his own. But again, he may have got counsel. When we do not rule our spirit, now that we're talking about our physical spirit, we are at the mercy of people and circumstances. Think about this. There are people, the Bible talks about people who are blown around by every wind of doctrine. What that means is they head this way and then they get blown over this way. And then picture again, if you go through life letting circumstances and people control you, you won't ever get anywhere. Because you will, and again, that's why Paul said this one thing I do. That's why I always tell the young folks when I'm teaching them as teenagers, I always say, put that plan. You're going to follow Jesus, and that's out there. And you just have a one-mindedness. Forget about it. That's why they put blinders on a horse when they're up on a trail, especially a scary trail. Because if they could see the cliff, they would end up panicking. So they put those blinders on, and all they can see is the road right in front of them. So they just stay on the road. It doesn't matter what dangers are to the left. It doesn't matter what dangers are to the right. They can't see them. They don't know about that. And again, it'd be good for some of us to put some blinders on. But in this case, again, we don't want to be controlled. We don't want to be at the mercy of people and circumstance. And some people are like that. That's why some people hop from church to church to church. They change religions just about as quickly. There are folks, and again, there are some of you that were another religion before you got saved. And then you realize that religion never tried to get me saved, never pointed me in the right direction. That religion did not follow the Word of God. And so you got here and you've stayed here. And this has become, Liberty Baptist or the Bible has become your rock. And that's a good thing. But there are folks that chase one religion to the next. They're always after some new thing. Self-control is necessary for us not to react to temptations, trials, and testings. Notice in your Bible, Matthew chapter 5, verse 39. And that goes with this thought. Jesus teaches us to act by turning the other cheek. Now, we often quote this verse, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, again, that would be an action. It was not a reaction, because the reaction would have been, they spit on you, you spit on them. They cuss at you, you cuss at them. They hit you, you hit them. In this case, it was not a reaction, it was an action. Now, that's why they train us in school to have fire drills. In Missouri, we would have tornado drills. Some of you have been in a state where you had to have tornado drills. So we would have tornado drills just like fire drills. Now, the tornado drill, in a fire drill, what do? You get out of the building. In the tornado drill, you know what you do? You're supposed to take your heaviest book that is in the class, usually the biology book or some hardbound book, get out in the hallway, get on your knees, and I guess you're supposed to pray. I'm not sure, but get on your knees and put the book over the back of your neck. And that was so if there's something that falls on you, you don't get glass or something on the back of your neck and kill you. So you actually stay in the building. We got out in the hallway, and we kneeled down in the hallway and put a book over our necks. The only good use I've ever seen for a biology book, by the way. But the truth is, just joking, the truth is, they have you do those drills so that when the real thing happens, you don't have to think. You act. When you hear that alarm. By the way, that's why they teach you that when you hear the siren, you're supposed to do what? Slow down and pull over to the right. You're supposed to get out of the way. Now, if it was you that that the emergency vehicle was coming to, you'd want everyone to get out of the stinking way. But sometimes when it's us, it's like, hey, you can go in the other lane. Sometimes we are reasoning in our heads why we shouldn't do what we're supposed to do. So again, we want to be able to act and not react. Now, he could have only thought of one thought, and that had to be unfaithful. Again, that's the only way a girl gets pregnant. He knew he didn't do it, so in his mind, the only way it could have happened was for that. And by the way, sometimes things are not the way they seem or the way they look. Most people hurt this way would have reacted by causing hurt in return. His response was one of self-control, and get this, and love. I like the verse that says, love covers a multitude of sins. You know what that means? You put up with some of my nonsense because you love me. Oh, by the way, I put up with some of your nonsense because I love you. You put up with preachers' shortcomings and failings, all of us, anyone in leadership, because you love him. And he puts up with your shortcomings and failings because he loves you. That's how a husband and wife end up being 30 or 40 or 50 years in a marriage. It wasn't because they had a perfect marriage. It was because of the fact that they had enough love. Again, his response was one of self-control and love. Too many times, things are dealt with out of anger, impatience, or pride, and again, pride is usually the biggest one, instead of temperance, love, and prayer. That's the introduction. I want to give you seven simple truths as far as seven practical ways to act instead of reacting. Now, notice in your Bible, the first one, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the first one is walk in the Spirit, and you're not in doing that, you will not fulfill your fleshly lust. Now, he tells us in Ephesians 5, 18, be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So we are supposed to be filled. Now, understand, as alcohol will make you do things that you wouldn't normally do. By the way, being filled full of Spirit will make you do things you wouldn't normally have done. Now, and we want to, if we want to be spiritual, what we want to do is get as far away from acting normal as we can. Because our normal leanings are all toward sin. They're all toward wrong. So the more spiritual we are, the less human, the less normal we will act. Amen. The truth is, when we say someone's crazy for the Lord, that's a good thing. Yeah. When we say someone's lost their mind or someone's, they're nuts. And by the way, some of your relatives think some of you are nuts. It was funny. Someone told me the other day, my relative had been told that Liberty Baptist Church was a cult. And they listened to some of your services and they realized, wow, they don't seem like a cult. But listen to me, there are a lot of folks, I told you the other night, those folks on that, whatever that group is, that attack independent Baptists all the time. Now listen to me, Liberty Baptist has never been and never will be perfect. If you want to look for problems at Liberty Baptist, guess what? You will find some. But no matter what church you go to, you'll find some there as well. But I can tell you in all the years that I've been at Liberty Baptist Church, and I've been here a long time, the pastor's never run off with the secretary. He's never fooled around with the musician. Well, I guess he does mess with one secretary, but that one's his wife, so that one's okay? So, but there are pastors. There are a lot of pastors. Brother Nichols can name you hundreds of them. I don't know most of them because I don't travel, but he can name you hundreds of them that have ran off with their secretary or the pianist or someone else, or some of them that was fooling around with half the women in the church. There was a guy years ago that convinced women they were doing their spiritual duty because he had physical urges and he could be more spiritual if they would fulfill his physical urges. He convinced these girls they were doing the right thing. You say, what was that? Insane on the one hand, but brilliant on the other hand. Brilliant from his viewpoint, because all these ladies were thinking, I'm serving God. No, they were serving his selfish and his fleshly impulses. That's why we get married. That's why we have wives and husbands. But the fact is, that's never... Do we have problems? Brother Nichols has never ran off with the church's money, and there's lots of churches that have had that happen to their pastor. Emptied the fund and took off. Say, why does that happen? Because we don't have any money in the fund. So it makes it, the good news is, it makes it easier for Brother Nicholas now to be honest, because if we robbed you guys blind, we wouldn't get much. I mean, it'd be like, put enough gas in the car, we might get the corpus, okay? So now I'm just joking. Actually, the church has a little money right now. So, I mean, it might be, but the truth is, there are pastors that run off with the secretary. They run off with the church's money. I mean, they get up and preach all kinds of stuff, not from the Bible. I guarantee you, any sermon you hear anyone preach behind this pulpit, you're going to see 10, 15, 20, 30, sometimes 50 or 60 verses from the Word of God. They're not trying to teach you what they think or what they want to. So again, we want to make sure that we walk in the Spirit. Now, that is not the easy thing to do, but that's the right thing to do. And if we walk in the Spirit, we will find ourselves acting instead of reacting. The second thing to do comes from, again, your verse there, 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. We got to keep our body, we got to keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Now, when you look at the phrase, keep under my body, that refers to making your body where it doesn't act against the Spirit. Instead, you force it to, again, you bring it under, you make it act spiritual. Amen. The word that came out of your mouth, you might have had to bite your tongue, but it didn't come out of your mouth. You kept your body in subjection. Now, understand, Paul said, again, notice what he said, I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection. It's not in subjection. He brought it into subjection. Okay? So he was constantly having to fight his flesh. For any person in here today, we had someone who went soul winning the other day, and they talked to the husband, I think, had got saved, and the kids had got saved. The wife had never sinned. That's what she had told them. She had never done anything wrong. Now, I've had lots of people, but they're usually younger folks. This was an adult. This was someone 30 or 40 years old that had said they had never done, they had never sinned. Say, what was you? I was amazed, and then I was just thinking, wow, I mean, I thought I had some mental issues. I mean, apparently, I mean, they have a lot more memory loss than me, because as much as I've forgotten, I still am well aware of the fact that I'm a sinner. I don't know how the husband can live with her. She's perfect. I don't know how she can live with her husband and kids. She's perfect. And none of us have to deal with that, because none of us have a perfect wife, and none of us ever had a perfect husband. And I know none of us ever had any perfect kids, so none of us have had to deal with that. But imagine how spiritual she is, how much she has to go put up with dealing with an imperfect husband and imperfect kids and imperfect people that she deals with. That'd be nice if we was perfect, but none of us have got there. None of us are ever going to get there until we get that new body, and that's going to be either at the rapture or when we die. But the truth is, we have to fight this body. Now, Paul put it in 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. He said, what did he say? I die daily. So what he said is, I have to keep putting. Now, what he meant was, I remember years ago, I don't remember if Brother Nicholas or someone else had someone lay either on the altar, on the communion table, or we had a table, but they put a person there. Now, normally if a person's dead, you can call them names. They don't hear you. They're dead. You can poke them. They don't respond. You know why? They're dead. But Paul, what Paul said was, I die daily. What he's saying is, I put my flesh to death, and then I have to come back and I have to kill it again, because it starts to crawl off. It starts to get away from. So what he said is, I have to keep putting my body under subjection. I have to keep dying daily. And if Paul did that, who was probably one of the greatest Christians that ever lived, all the rest of us are going to have to do it. And again, I guarantee you, if he did it daily, we're going to have to do it several times a day. And I don't think he just meant when he said, I die daily. I don't think he just meant I die once daily. I don't think he woke up in the morning and said, all right, Lord, I'm yours. And then all day long, never had another problem. I think what he meant was, I die several times every day, right, to the flesh. So again, how to act instead of react. We want to keep our body under subjection. Number three, notice Romans chapter 13, verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So if we want to act instead of react, we have to make sure that we make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You say, Brother Block, I don't have any lust in my body. You're a liar. We all have lust. We all have things we hunger after. And by the way, not all the things we hunger after are bad. There can be good lust. You say, Brother Block, I lust after the Word of God. That's a good thing. I lust after souls. That's a good thing. The lust simply means a very strong desire. So you can have good, there's good desires. Some of you might lust after ice cream. I know some of you lust after chocolate. Now, understand, when you're lactose intolerant, whether you used to lust after those things or not, that's no longer much of an option. I can cheat once in a while, and I can get by with it. I cheat very often, and it makes me sick. So it's not worth the effort. But again, keep in mind, he says, don't make any provisions for the flesh. So don't plan ahead. Don't give forethought of how you might fulfill your carnal desires. We can use marriage as the example. If in your marriage, husband and wife, divorce is an option, we all would have been divorced. If it was an option. But those who are still married today, if you're still married today and it's been 20 or 30 years. Now, for those of you that have been married a short time like Henry, divorce probably hasn't even been a thought yet. Someday, Henry, divorce will be a thought. Oh, but by the way, little lady sat next to the ugly guy next to you, someday divorce, maybe not divorce, but murder will be a thought. But the truth is, if you've been married 30 or 40 years, the divorce did come into your head. But if you did not give it any place, if you did not give it any consideration, you said, don't believe it, I'm not going to get a divorce, then you know what you had to do? You had to work it out. Now, it is not always easy to work it out. Now, there is no such thing as a perfect wife, no such thing as a perfect husband, but there are times in the marriage that one is more to blame than the other. Yeah. There are times it's 60-40, maybe even 70-30. I haven't seen any 90-10s, but there are some times that one side doesn't put near as much effort into the marriage as the other. But the truth is, divorce is not an option unless you consider it as an option. Quitting is not an option unless you consider it as an option. I like what, again, Brother Nichols has used him, other folks have as well, but William Borden wrote in his Bible, you know what he said? No reserves, that means he held nothing back. No retreat, he never thought about going back. And then he said at the end of that, no regrets. So he didn't, now again, you and I have had regrets in our lives. There's things we wish we had done and wish we had done differently. What he said is, you know what? I didn't hold anything back, I gave it all. I didn't ever look back. I intended to go. I kept plodding forward. And at the end, when he got to the end of his life, he said, you know what? I don't feel bad. I mean, there's nothing I wish I'd done differently. No regrets. Again, make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The fourth thing, notice in your Bible, James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. A verse I memorized as a teenager. And I've quoted to myself hundreds, if not thousands, of times. Now, you may not have the same problems that I have, but one of my problems was I had the hoof and mouth disease that animals get. What it meant was I put my foot in my mouth quite often. I said things I shouldn't have said. Now, I know that some of you wouldn't think of this of me, but I was, at the time, I'm very good at being a smart aleck. My dad used to call me a smart aleck. But, I mean, I had the ability to come back with a quick response. I'm a quick thinker. So, I mean, now I'm lucky if I can even think at all. But back then, I was a quick thinker. So I could come back with some good responses. Or I thought they was good responses. Some of them got me smacked upside the head. But the fact is, I had to memorize this verse because I had a problem with my mouth. Now, you might have a problem with something else, but I had a problem with my mouth. And so I memorized this verse, and what he said was, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now, I found when I was slower to speak, I was a lot slower to wrath. It was the quick to speak that got me either into trouble that caused the problem, the fight, or I said something that, by the way, stirred me to anger. But my dad used to put it this way, you have two ears, anyway, most of us do. Some of you, I don't know, because you have long hair, and I can't tell. But you have two ears and one mouth. My daddy made it very simple. He said, that means God probably wants you to listen twice as much as he wants you to talk. Now, I can tell you that wasn't always my position. Many times my one mouth worked a lot harder than my two ears. And I got into a lot of trouble with that. I still do sometimes. You say, Brother Block, are you cured from that? I wish. It's like cancer. It just keeps coming back. I mean, and I just have to keep doing treatment. Sometimes the treatment doesn't. I mean, sometimes the doctors look at me and say, there's no hope. But I memorized that verse as a teenager. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now, what the point was be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So that's the point. If you want to act instead of reacting, you listen. I always appreciate what Brother Nichols done. If you've ever went for Brother Nichols for counsel, almost always when you give him your issue, what does he say? What does he tell you next? Come back and see me in a few days. Give me a few days to pray about it. Now, if you ask most of us something, you know what? We have an answer right now. You know why? Because we know everything. We're all knowing. I mean, God gave us that ability. We know everything. So many of us, and by the way, some of us, we convince ourselves that we know everything. We always have all the answers. That's why your wife just finally quits arguing with you, because it's like, you know, I don't even want to deal with him right now. I mean, because you know everything. That's why your husband doesn't want to deal with you, because you know everything. You have an answer for everything. But Brother Nichols will always say, by the way, it doesn't even have to be a great big thing. He always just says, let me pray about it and think about it for a couple of days and get back with me. And he's told me that lots of times through the years, not just once. I'm talking about dozens of times. Again, what he's saying is, let me think about that for a little bit. Let me think about it, run some stuff over my, let me talk to God about it, and then the two of us will get together and we'll have an answer for you. By the way, I like that, because that means he didn't just tell me something off the top of his head. He didn't tell me the first thing that came to mind. He wanted to make sure that he'd let it roll around a little bit. And I don't know about you, when I think about something, that's why a lot of times when I do a sermon, now these I get from a lesson that I have a bunch of lessons upstairs where I've got most of these on Wednesday night, but like the one I preached the other day that I did, when I'm preparing a message, especially if I don't have to preach anytime real soon, I'll write some stuff down, then I'll write some more stuff down. I've told you I'll put a piece of paper by there by the bedside, and some nights I can't go to sleep because I'll think of something. I'll think, oh, that's a good thought. And then sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I can't read my writing because I wrote it with an ink pen on the paper, and sometimes I wrote all across all the stuff, so I have to try to interpret my own writing. But the fact is, and the good thought will come. Now, if I don't write that good thought down, I don't know how many times I had a great thought. I didn't write it down, and I can't remember what it was the next morning. I remember I had a great thought, but I can't remember what that great thought was. And I'm thinking, I could have changed the world. It would have made such a difference, but I can't remember what it was. It came to me, and I thought, surely as good as that thought is, as surely as great as that thought is, tomorrow morning, it's going to be the first thing I think about, and I'll pull out my ink pen, and I'll write it down. And I woke up the next morning and remembered I had a great thought, but had no idea what it was. I could have helped you. But I didn't write it down. I had it, and then I lost it. But again, he said, I want you to be swift to hear, slow to speak. Again, when we talk quickly, it gets us in trouble. Notice Romans chapter 3, verse 15. You know, he said there, their feet were what? Swift to shed blood. They did it quickly. They didn't have to think about it. Now notice, I have on there Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through verse 16. I'm going to read them to you. You have all of them in front of you. Except somehow I didn't write down verse 16, so when I get there, I'll read it to you. Actually, Henry, look at Romans 3, verse 16. I'll start reading. Romans 3:10 says, the verse we always talk to folks when it's talking about getting people saved, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Very, very truthful, very, 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 the first thought I ever give anyone. I use Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23 when I first start soul winning. Verse 11 says, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. Now, you say, well, I did. No, you didn't. There is none. Just like there's none righteous, there was none that understandeth, and there's none that seeketh after God. If you and I did that, it was after we got saved. It was, notice verse 12. They were all gone out of the way. Again, all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Verse 13, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit, and the poisons of apes is under their lips. I mean, mouth gets them in a lot of trouble. Notice what happens in verse 14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Verse we read earlier, the feet are swift to shed blood. And verse 16 says, now notice what happens when this mouth goes, when it does all this cursing and this bitterness, and when it has the poison of apes. It says, you know what it causes? Suffering and misery. By the way, that means others, and also means you as well. So again, we want to be careful about our mouth. We want to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Number five, and I must hurry on. The fifth thing, as far as again acting instead of reacting, trust the Lord with all of our hearts. We teach this to the kids in Sunday school, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not into thine own understanding. Again, your own understanding, my own understanding will only get us in trouble. Right. We want to make sure that we talk to God, that we get. By the way, that's why Proverbs is a great book to read. Amen. Now, all the books are great to read, but Proverbs is known for its wisdom, especially wisdom for young people. But it's not just wisdom for young people. By the way, it talks about business dealings. It talks about family dealings. It talks about, you name almost anything that you can name. There's some Proverbs for that. Yeah. Amen. And again, we want to make sure that we trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Number six, notice Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. In order to act instead of reacting, he says in verse 32, be a kind one to another, tender-hearted. Now notice the next one, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, again, if you're wondering what will make you a good Christian, it'll be that, by the way, you do some of those things we just talked about, but you also learn, one, to be tenderhearted, kind, and then he said, forgive one another. There are folks that, I remember I had a bus kid, and his dad had done a terrible thing to him. Terrible thing to him. Now listen to me. He was not the only one in the world that had a terrible thing done to him by a parent. I wish that was the only time I'd ever heard it. It was not. I've dealt with a lot of stuff of husband or wife or kids or grandparents, I mean, who've had a relative do some terrible stuff to them. Everything from sexual improprieties to physical to mental, I mean, all kinds of stuff. Now listen to me. You can dwell on that if you like, and it will defeat you. Or you can put it behind you, and many times to put it behind you, you have to. Now, it doesn't mean you forget that. Again, there are folks that I still wouldn't trust with certain things, but there's folks I had to forgive them. I had to get past it, because if I didn't and I kept dwelling on it, one, it just made me more angry. More, and by the way, it took away my desire to ever. I believe that everybody was like them, and not everybody is. There are some folks out there that really work hard to try to live for the Lord. So he said, be a kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, notice what it says there. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, he tells us to do good. You don't have your notes, I'm sorry. That's another one I missed. Do good to all men, but then he says what? Especially to those who are of the what? Household of faith. Now he understands that there's going to be some times you and I are going to have to go out of our way for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because you know what happens with family? We know each other's faults and failures. We anger each other sometimes. Sometimes we step on each other's toes, or we get into people's business that we shouldn't. And so what Paul said, I want you to do good unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. Jesus himself set the example. I read it often, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, right in the middle it says, who went about doing good. Now, he did a lot of stuff. You know what they recorded here? Now, you and I know that he healed the sick and he raised the dead and he brought sight back to the blind and he gave hearing back to the deaf. We know all of that. But you know what that was all summed up as? He went about doing good. You know how often he did that? Every day of his life. Every day of his life. Again, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And the last thing, and I'm done, run with patience the race that is set before us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 tells us that, again, we're encompassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. There are fans in the stands. And it's always easier to play when you got someone in the stands cheering for you. It's not good when the home team's booing for you. And there's been games that the Spurs have been cheered. There's been games that the Spurs have been booed. I can tell you it's easier to play when folks are cheering. And he tells us that, but lay aside every weight and the sin which thus so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now he said, run with patience the race that is set. So if you want to act instead of reacting, you have to run with patience the race that is set before you. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul said this, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Now notice what he said, I have fought a good fight. He didn't just fight. He fought a good fight. You say, was that something about Paul? Was that unique about Paul? I don't know. No, look at 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know you not that they which run in a race run all? So he said, if you're going to run in a race, you know what you need to do? Run all. What he's simply saying is, I gave it everything I got. Now, I can tell you this. I used to tell this to the boys when they was on the basketball floor or the soccer field. I used to always tell them this. When you get out on the field, you give me everything you got. Now, if you give me everything you got and it's not enough, you can't do any better than that. I don't know about you. If I gave you everything in my billfold tonight, guess what? I can't give you anything more. I gave you everything. Most Christians do not have that problem, though. Most of us hold some in reserve. Yeah. We have an escape plan. You know why John and Peter and James went back fishing? Because either they still had a boat or Dad had a boat. Now, again, understand, you remember the story about the fellow that took his oxen? What did he do with them? He killed them and boiled the instruments and all that. I mean, he didn't have a job to come back to. You know why? Because he committed himself to the Lord and said, someone might have said, what are you going to do if this don't work out? He said, I don't know. Better work out because I don't have an alternate plan. By the way, that should be true when it comes to marriage. That ought to be true when it comes to many, many things. But again, you should not have an escape route, an escape plan. You should be holy following the Lord. Wholly committed. Everything about you. I mean, you ought to give the Lord your heart. You ought to give Him your mouth. You ought to give Him your eyes. You ought to give Him your ears. And He wants all of us. He doesn't want part of us. He wants all of us. The song that Brother Prairie loves, one of his favorite songs, is give of your what? Best to the Master. Best. I mean, give him the best you got. You know anything about the animal sacrifices? They weren't allowed to make a sacrifice of it. Now, it would be our nature. I mean, if I'm going to kill an animal and just take its blood, why don't I just take the crippled one? I can't sell it. It's not worth as much. Were they allowed to do that? And the answer to that was no, because they were making an offering to their God. So they had to take the best one, the one that was worth the most money. They had to keep the crippled one. They had to take the one that was limping. They had to take the one that didn't look so good. Again, you and I want to make sure that we act instead of react. It is not our normal response, but it is our spiritual and the proper response. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I pray, Lord, you'd help us, each one, to work daily. It's a daily thing. Paul struggled every day with it, and we will too. We're not any better than Paul. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to realize that our spiritual nature wants to thrive. Our spiritual nature wants to be seen, wants to show through. But our fleshly nature wants to defeat it, wants to hold it.